Ephesians chapter 4, I'm taking the text and the title from verse 6, One God, Ephesians 4, verse 6, One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, one God. There is one God. He said repeatedly, we read in Isaiah 45, I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. He's the only just God and Savior. God, who is our God and Savior, is the absolute Lord, sovereign Lord and King of all the earth, of all the universe, of everything and over everything. In heaven, in earth, there is only one eternal, infinite, holy, omnipotent God who rules and reigns over all things. God is the absolute God of all the earth. We studied recently from Psalm 93, talked about the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also shall be established, and it cannot be moved. The Lord Jesus Christ is our God and a Savior, and he's the only just God who rules and reigns over all things. Our Lord said, all powers given unto me in heaven and on earth. The Lord does reign and rule. He said in John 17, the Father has given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to me. Now, I want to work on these verses here, verses 4, where it says, there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now, you got the idea here? One. There's just one gospel. There's just one God. There's just one Savior. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are eager and willing and encouraged to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace and to do this out of love. Look back to verse 1, Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you are called. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and do so with all humility of mind, lowliness, meekness, knowing everything we have, everything we are, everything that will ever be is by the grace of God, every blessing we have, with lowliness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. This is something we're to work on. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and do so in the bond of peace. Now look over in the same chapter, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one toward another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Love one another, forgive one another, walk in lowliness of mind with meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and loving one another, endeavoring to keep this unity of the Spirit and do so in the bond of peace. Our Lord said, you shall know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. There is a blessed oneness and unity between Christ and his people. They are one. Every member of his body is vitally joined to him. And being vitally joined to him, they're united to each other. Their hearts are knit together in love and to Christ. Notice right across the page in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and united by that which every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase the body unto the edifying of itself. And again, it's in love. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love one to another. Joined together in Christ and to one another. Our Lord prayed this in John 17. We read this last week. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, as we are one. We are members one of another. We're in the same body, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the head, and we're members, every one of that in that body. Now these next verses, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, the apostle gives us seven valid blessed reasons we are to walk worthy of the calling where we've been called, and to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit and do so, striving to keep the unity and this bond of love, this bond of peace. Because there is, here's the first one, verse 4, there is one body. There is one body. Now he's talking here about the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said in Matthew 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is His body. He is the head, and believers are members of that one body. You remember back in chapter 1, turn over there, chapter 1, verse 20. Talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Ephesians 1 verse 20. Set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And put all things under His feet. Gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. His body. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. We have this again over in chapter 2. Turn over there. In chapter 2, verse 16. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them which were nigh. Through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And this house is built upon the foundation that God has laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there is one church. Now there are many local congregations, right? There are many what they call denominations. And there's a lot of those. There are local congregations, there are local assemblies, but there is one body. There is one church of which the Lord Jesus Christ is the head, Lord, and Savior of His body. Look over at chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. The Lord loved the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And He gave Himself for His body. He laid down His life for His body, for His church. So He is the Savior. He is the Savior of His body. There is but one church. Talking about all those who have been called out of darkness and joined to the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith. They are members of that body. There is one body, one church, the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. This church of God's elect, He chose and elected from the beginning of the world. He chose them. He is the shepherd who chooses the sheep. The sheep don't choose Him. The shepherd chooses the sheep. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. There's one body, one church. Blessed be Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. How does one who is a ungodly, vile, wretched sinner get in this body of Christ? But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. It's all of His choice. It's all of His doing. There is one body, one church. This church of the Lord Jesus Christ, He purchased with His own blood. He bought the church with His own blood. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. This church of the Lord Jesus Christ, He loved from all eternity, and He gave Himself for the church. Call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from their sin. I had on a radio program this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is a good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep, for His church. Now, there's no doubt about it. There is but one body. Many local congregations, now don't get me wrong, but there was one church. And they're made up, this church is made up of those whom God has chosen from all eternity, called the elect, called the chosen, called the sheep. There is one body. Okay, the next thing He says right here in verse 4 is there's one Spirit. There is one Holy Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. So here's the second thing. There is one Spirit called God, the Holy Spirit. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Chapter 2, verse 18. No man can truly call Jesus Christ Lord but by the Spirit of God. There is but one Holy Spirit that convicts and convinces us of sin. We read in John 16, when He is come, that is the Comforter, when the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit has come, He will reprove, convict the world of sin, that's what I am, of righteousness, what I need, of judgment, judgment due our sin, judgment at the cross, of sin, He said, because they believe not on Me, of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. God the Holy Spirit quickens us, convicts us, regenerates us, makes us new creatures in Christ. If you miss Holy Spirit conviction, you'll miss true repentance. If you miss true repentance, you'll miss faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you miss faith, you'll miss salvation because salvation is in Christ. Faith is a God-given means whereby we lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ who accomplished salvation for us. Our Lord said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is God the Holy Spirit that quickens and makes us alive. You remember in chapter 2, turn back one page. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Now, how is a dead sinner raised to life? What is exceeding power, His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The same power that took to raise the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ that third morning is the same power it takes to raise a dead sinner to cause him to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a quickening work of God the Holy Spirit. He alone does this work. There is one body, there is one Spirit. Remember our Lord said His Spirit, John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit of God that quickens us and calls us. He translates us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit. It is God the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that we're baptized into the body of Christ. For by the one Spirit are we all baptized into that one body. It's the work of God the Holy Spirit. But of Him are you in Christ, who of God has made known to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It is God the Holy Spirit that comforts believers with the gospel. Remember, our Lord said to those disciples before He ascended to the cross to put away our sin, He said, when the Comforter is come, He'll guide you into all truth. He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. So what does God the Holy Spirit, who comforts the people, what does He comfort them with? The Lord Jesus Christ. He takes the things of Christ, His atonement, His righteousness, and shows them to us and reveals Christ to our heart. It is God the Holy Spirit who seals believers until the time of complete deliverance in eternal glory. Remember, we had that back in chapter 1. Turn over there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, verse 13. Ephesians 1, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. God gets all the glory in saving sinners. It is God the Holy Spirit who seals us and keeps us. We're kept by the power of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back to Ephesians chapter 4 again. So there is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope. There's just one hope. Now, there's just one Savior, right? There's just one God, right? There's just one body, right? There's just one God, the Holy Spirit, and there is just one hope. One hope of your calling. There's one hope of our calling. That one hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? We read in 2 Thessalonians 2:16, we have an everlasting consolation and a good hope through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we do have a hope. There's just one hope. There's just one hope. Christ is that hope. All believers have this same hope. It's in a person. Salvation's in a person. They're all loved with the same love. He's loved us with an everlasting love. They're all chosen in the same head. We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. They're all secured in the same covenant. The God of peace that brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and ensured. They're all bought with the same price. What was that price? You're no more your own. Your own, you're bought with a price. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. They're all justified by the same righteousness. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. They're all equally sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all made kings and priests unto our God, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's the one hope. There's but one kingdom, one crown, one inheritance for all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our inheritance. He is our reward. Let me show you something here. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. A lot of people in religious circles talk about rewards in heaven. You ever heard people talk about that? They say they're serving the Lord so they can have more rewards in heaven. That's not biblical. That's not the way that the gospel teaches us. Look here at Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So you see what I'm saying there? Reward, singular. Christ is our reward. He's our hope. He is our Savior. He is all. You remember Colossians 3:11. Christ is all and in all. In Him goes all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in Him. Okay, back to the text. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called by His grace, God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, one hope of your calling. Verse 5 says there's one Lord. One Lord. Now, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one. To you who believe, He is precious, altogether lovely. There is one Lord Jesus Christ. That means there's just one saving true gospel. There are not many gospels. You remember from our study, Galatians chapter 1, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, what's the consequence? Let him be accursed. So whether it be an angel from heaven or any other, there's just one gospel. It is the gospel of the one Lord, Jesus Christ. There's one gospel. Now you remember this scripture, 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, that is the man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is just one Lord, one gospel. Oh, by the way, there's just one way of salvation. Our Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. There's just one way. I told you the story about a grandfather who was driving down the road with his grandson, 5, 6, 7 year old, and he saw a traffic sign said, one way. And he said to his granddad, there's the gospel. And his granddad said, what do you mean? One way. And that's the gospel. There's one way. God saves sinners one way. And that's by His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember from our study in the book of Acts, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, He's Lord. He is Lord in creation. He is Lord in providence. He is Lord in salvation. And I mean by that, the Scriptures teach, He will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. He is Lord by the right of creation. He is Lord by the eternal decree of God. Peter said God had made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And He's Lord by His sacrificial death. That is, He bought us with His own blood. He said, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He is Lord in a very special way to His church, in that He chose them to be His bride. He married them in that eternal covenant of grace. And as such, they honor Him and receive Him, believe Him, worship Him, and bow to Him as Lord. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. In John 13, we read, the Lord said to His disciples, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. He is Lord, not by something we do. He's not Lord by a democratic process. We didn't vote on this. God had made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. So there's one Lord, one gospel, one way, and that leads us to the next one in verse 5 there. Well, there's one faith. There's one faith. There's one faith. That is the faith of God's elect. The faith of God's elect, we read in Scripture, Titus 1:1, the faith of God's elect acknowledges the truth. Same thing with God-given repentance. God-given repentance is a gift of God. He's exalted to give repentance to Israel. Repentance and faith both have the same characteristics. They acknowledge that God is God. They acknowledge that the one way of salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one faith, and that is the faith of God's elect. That's why faith is called precious. Faith is the gift of God given to God's elect whereby they receive salvation. Now listen carefully. Faith does not produce salvation. Faith receives the Lord Jesus Christ who accomplished salvation for us. Being justified by Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one faith, precious faith, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This one faith has one source, one foundation. What is that one foundation of faith? True saving faith. Not feelings. Not feelings. What did Martin Luther say 500-600 years ago? Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. So the foundation of faith is not feelings. It's not emotion. The foundation of faith is the Word of God. The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith has one foundation. Faith has one author. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Him. He said, look unto me. We read Isaiah 45. Look unto me and be saved. I am God. Beside me there is no other. There's one author. There's one source, one foundation. And there is one object of faith. The object of faith is Christ. He said, come to me. Come to me. Look to me. And this faith all sprang from the same cause and source, the sovereign will and good pleasure of God. Faith is the gift of God. He gives faith to whom He will. Now that leads us to the next one. Look down at the text again. Ephesians 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one baptism. Now, he's talking about water baptism here. There is one way believers are to confess their faith in Christ publicly, and that's by believers' baptism. Now, we studied all the way through the book of Acts. When the gospel was preached and God granted faith, they confessed their faith publicly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a picture of His death, burial, and resurrection. This is administered in one way, the same way, by water immersion. One and the same subject, believers in Christ. One and the same name, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now listen to me carefully. Baptism is not, talking about water baptism, is not essential to salvation. Christ is essential to salvation. That's all salvation, all of God's grace, of God's grace. But now baptism is essential to obedience. The Lord has given a commandment for those who believe the gospel to be baptized. Now many in religious circles have wrongly made water baptism to be the Savior. They have made water baptism to be the Redeemer and the cause and means of salvation. That's not so. The Lord Jesus Christ is the cause of salvation, the means of salvation. He is the Savior and the Redeemer. Believer's baptism is publicly identifying with His death, burial, and resurrection. We're saying publicly that Christ is all of our hope in salvation. When Philip preached the gospel to the eunuch in the desert place, remember? He had one question when Philip said, when he asked to be baptized, and Philip asked him, if thou believest with all thy heart, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said, stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water, and the eunuch was baptized to Philip, confessing his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's move on to number 7, and it's found in verse 6, and this is the last one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. There's one God. He's a God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. There's one God. He said, I am the Lord, I am God, and there is none else. The Father and the Word and the Holy Spirit, these three, we read in 1 John 5, these three are one. One. Now, I learned something this last week. I learned something. I'm always encouraged. Now, I may forget this next year, But I've learned something this week. I've been studying through the prophet Zechariah, and I got to chapter 14, verse 9, and here's what I read. And I know I've read this before because I did a whole message, a whole series of messages through the book of Zechariah 20 years ago. And here's what I read. The Lord shall be king over all the earth, and in that day there shall be one Lord, and His name, one. That's His name. His name is one. There's one God, one Lord, and one Savior. One way. There is one. He's the one and true and living God who is absolute sovereign over all things. Our great God is the absolute ruler over all nations and people. They are accountable to Him as the supreme God of all. You can't preach Him too high. He is God over all things. We read in Psalm 135, "For I, the Lord, for I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods." Remember what we read in Isaiah 45, "All the gods of the nations are idols. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places." Our great God is the sovereign Lord over all things. He is the Father of His covenant people. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." In a very special, intimate way, God has a peculiar relationship to His people, the people of His pasture called the sheep of His hand. He is our good shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep. He is above all. That is, there's none above Him. He does according to His will in heaven and in earth. Who is above all, who is through all. He provides all things for us. Who is in you all. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We read in Romans 11, "Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory." He is Lord over all and above all things. Now, in closing, verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given grace." Now, what does every one of us, what do guilty sinners need? Grace. And He gives this grace according to His good pleasure. "It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace." Peter said this, "The God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever." The God of all grace. The name of this congregation and the name of this ministry is Zebulun Grace Church. Why did we say Zebulun Grace Church? Because we preach the sovereign grace of God. God's grace is not merited. Grace is not deserved. But rather it's the free, infinite, eternal, sovereign pleasure of God. He will be gracious to whom He will be gracious. Given according to the measure of the gift of His grace. Notice, given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Of His fullness have all we receive grace for grace. And it all works according to what it says in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 11. Look over there. "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus the Lord." God's purpose. He saves every sinner who He saves by His purpose and grace given in the Lord Jesus Christ.